Welcome to Life Changing Money, a podcast all about one of the most taboo topics in the world, money. I'm your host, Barbara Strehan, and we're going behind the scenes on business owners' journeys to money, success, and wealth. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the Life Changing Money podcast. I am so excited to interview Natalie Davison. You might be my first, international podcast guest, and I didn't even know it till just now.
I feel so exotic right now.
our Canadian podcast guest from a place where?
From Moncton, New Brunswick, which is basically on the other side of Maine. So when I describe it to my American friends, I'll say I'm on the other side of Maine. Or the other thing I'll say is I'm attached to Prince Edward Island by bridge.
Okay.
And of Green Gables. Those are kind of like the two claims to fame of my little piece of Canada.
Can you drive over the border easily?
Between the US and Canada? Yes. Yeah, yeah. And there's plenty of folks that actually do that, like live in Canada or the US and work in the other and travel daily. And
wow.
Actually cross border every day for work. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you've had the Maine lobster roll.
Except I come from Shediac, New Brunswick, which is the lobster capital of the world.
Oh,
not
so yours are better.
Not to be competitive about the lobster, but I do think, yeah, we've got our lobster on lock.
Well, I was going to plan a trip to Maine, and maybe we'll just drive up to the lobster capital.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to a lobster roll tour if I were you. I would really consider, where are those hotbeds where I would want to go test those out? Yeah. I get into Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, New Brunswick, where I live, and of course, Maine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lobster tour 2026.
Lobster tour. Make a retreat of it.
Well, I don't know how to sell a lobster retreat. But we are doing a personal branding retreat, which you know a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become a branding expert?
I actually worked in the agency space. So I worked for an agency in Canada for a couple of years, and then I had my own agency. So primarily now I work in the real estate space, but I have a background as a brand communications expert and brand strategist. And I, even in my real estate space, use that knowledge to coach the realtors who work for me to help them build their own personal brands.
I have a ton of real estate agent clients, hence why I'm speaking at Rise with you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they're always asking how they stand out in a space where there's millions of real estate agents. What would be your answer to that?
Well, the thing that's really hard about real estate as an industry and hard about standing out in real estate is that nobody really wants you to. And that's the thing, right? Your brokerage generally wants you to promote the brokerage. Your banner generally wants you to promote the banner. And so I see a lot of realtors at a crossroads where they know that their clients are just hiring them for them, but they're told that they're hiring the banner, right? And so that's why you find people in this kind of conflict in the real estate space, because that's what they're told. And it's simply not true. So the thing that I would say, if I had a realtor sitting ahead of me right now asking that question, is that your clients hire you for you. And so you have to be you so they can see you, right? Mm-hmm. They aren't going to be able to look for the things that they're looking for if you don't show them.
I always say people hire people, not the company.
That's absolutely true in the real estate space. But unfortunately, what happens is so many of the brokerage models are set up in a way that they profit off of convincing the individual realtor that they need them and they need their brand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of that's the dance in this industry that drives me bananas, because I think every realtor I've met has a unique value proposition to bring forward, can serve, and there's room for everybody. There's no need for that.
And now you're an agent?
Yeah. So I first got my real estate license 20 years ago and worked in Toronto for 7 years and moved into the brand space and then came back to real estate a couple years ago.
And how are you standing out in real estate?
Instagram's probably the place that you'll find, my content the most. And it's so funny you asked this question, because I was thinking about it today and I can think about I say to my team all the time, I'm like, we have a client that's just a really bad fit, and they seem to like not really like the way we do things. They're not really into our marketing. They're not really into our communications. I'm like, do they follow us on Instagram? You know what I mean? Because if they did, they would know what they're getting into, right? And so it's so interesting you ask that, because when we have those conflicts with clients that just really don't seem to value what's so great about our team, it usually means that they haven't been consuming the content. They're not kind of engaged with us online. They called us because of some kind of cold outreach, versus those clients that spend some time getting to know our content, consuming it, hearing our voices. They have the opportunity to choose us for us or go somewhere else if, you know, if we're not for them, right?
I love that, because I am not the typical accounting firm owner. I'm not the typical accountant. And people would know that if they follow our Instagram and our social media pages. But that's exactly who we attract when they are coming from social media pages, is like the more fun, you know, female forward business owners that are, don't want someone in a pantsuit and, you know, doesn't cuss. Because I cuss a lot and I'm kind of unfiltered, but that's who I want in my space.
Exactly. And you know what's, there's nothing worse than having someone figure that out after they're already a client. After you've already invested the time and the energy and you've maybe gotten into a contract and started working on a project, and then all of a sudden they're like, I don't like this. And you're like, well, geez, you know, like.
So what if a client does come in, you know, they're like a cold client?
Yeah.
Should you have like videos? That kind of introduce, or do you tell them like, go to my Instagram?
So, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about me saying like, go follow my Instagram. I've been just talking about that internally on our team. We don't do that right now, but I have in the past. I got into a situation a few years ago where I was working, I represented a home builder exclusively. That's all I did. We just had more leads than we could ever meet in the run of a week. Like it was, and it was becoming a massive like time suck. And so that's exactly what we did. We brought in a videographer. We mapped out a series of 8 must-watch videos before you could have a meeting with us. And they walked you through how we did business, how we priced homes, but also showed the personality and the vibe of the team. And what that did for us was amazing, because first of all, it allowed people to filter out and it reduced the amount of meeting requests we got, which was one of our goals. And then it highly qualified them. So the people that did call us were so engaged. And we would get things like when people would walk in the front door, they'd be like, Natalie, it's really you?
Yeah.
Oh, I watched every video, right? And when people have the opportunity to consume your content, that's amazing. But when they have the opportunity to do that in the environment they're the most comfortable, so in their own home, for example, sitting on their own couch, surrounded by their pets, and they feel the safest, that's where their real relationships can be formed. For me, it's as much about, you know, getting that content in front of them so we can attract or repel them, whichever, so that we have those higher value relationships along the way.
Probably a lot of people listening heard that you brought in a videographer and did 8 probably long form videos. And they're like, cha-ching, that probably cost a lot of money.
Yes.
And that will be their
block. That's all they heard. Okay. So that was a long time ago, before Instagram Reels and Instagram Stories. This was, I mean, we did those, I'm talking about 2013 maybe, right? That specific instance. So now, if you go spend any time on my Instagram, it is obvious I'm not spending a lot of money on content production. I'm a big fan of I make it at least one reel a day, every single day.
Oh, wow.
In my own thumbs. Like, I am a big fan of being a producer, documenting what you're doing and getting really, really comfortable being part of your audience's life. It's not for everybody, but that is how I operate. So you don't need a videographer, or you don't even need professional mics. You don't need anything other than the phone that's in your pocket to be able to make this kind of an impact.
Have you seen social media change over the last year?
Yeah. Oh, yes. So if you can imagine, I started social media marketing in 2011. I think it was 2012 where I got to be in the yellow book, Social Media Marketing for Business for Dummies.
Yeah.
Like, it was like early stuff, right? And because nobody was doing it, you know, I got a lot of attention, our company. So I've seen a lot change over time. But even in the last year, yes, like it wasn't the last year, but seeing news come out of Facebook was a big change, a big shift, making people create more almost. So it's like, if somebody really wants to share a point of view now, they're putting some words together, or they're sharing their friends' words or whatever. But it's like, that's really interesting. I think that's a culture shift that we don't necessarily even understand anymore. But in the last year, really, the evolution of AI has to be the thing that is just the wildest, right? I'll do a joke in my talk tomorrow where I pull up some AI headshots, because that was a big thing. Like, yeah, 3 years ago, realtors were all getting their AI headshots and everybody thought it looked like them, but it didn't look like them. But AI is starting to look like people. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, I pull them up and I tell the joke, but I'm like, geez, this joke's not even going to work next year. Because it's gotten so, the technology has gotten so much better. So I think that that's probably the thing. That's the thing that's on my mind the most. Not necessarily about my concerns or fears about AI, but how is the average consumer that I'm interacting with feeling about society and culture with the evolution of AI?
I love AI and I also hate AI. Yeah. I think that's a lot of people's opinions as well.
Yeah.
Where do you go right now to learn more about AI?
It depends on where you're at in your journey. Like, I have a lady on my team who has an AI for beginners course, and she's amazing. I went to a couple of her workshops, like, to support her, and I realized that nobody talks about AI on that level. So she's making it accessible to folks that have never touched it before, right? Everybody is trying to be an AI expert, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
People who weren't using, you know, like, weren't known for that 6 months ago are now all of a sudden experts. So I would say that go to AI to ask where to learn. Like, I'd probably go to ChatGPT and be like one of the most trusted sources.
Ask AI.
Yeah, I actually probably would if I didn't have somebody in my circle that I really, really trusted, because it's like marketing education and coaching and training. And that's a space I spent a lot of time into. Everybody's a marketing coach.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're good at it. Like, you know what I mean? And so it's that same thing where if you're the student and you're buying support or exchanging energy for support, it's extremely hard to vet that support because you're not the expert. So it's a bit of a pickle.
So you started in marketing, then went real estate. Obviously, you're bridging the gap with both right now.
Yeah.
How are you landing these big speaking engagements? Like, Rise is what, 300-400 women?
Yeah. Yeah,
because a lot of our listeners and audience, they want more for themselves. Like,
yes,
they're like, how do I become a speaker? Right. How do I get on podcasts?
Yeah.
How do I get in publications, which you've been in a lot of big ones?
Yeah.
What tips would you give them?
Thank you for asking that question. It's probably the thing I'm the proudest of, because I come from New Moncton.
Never heard of it.
I go to rooms like this all the time where people are like, that's why I have my lines of like, oh, I live on the other side of Maine, because people are like, who is Natalie Davison? Why is she here? And what is Moncton? Like, I hear that all the time, right? So I am really fortunate. I have an incredible network. I do land some pretty solid speaking gigs. And I will tell you a story about kind of one of the big level ups in my speaking career. Because I say I have a speaking career. Like, I'm very unapologetic about that. Right before the pandemic, I was very fortunate. My best friend is also a speaker, and they brought me into a mastermind with some of the best in the world, right? Mm. Like, it was like 300, 400 people in this closed free group where these best in the world speakers talked about, hey guys, like, don't forget to do this in your contracts and whatever. And I was in that group for a couple of years, silently observing, because mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want them to know I'm here. Like, I know what it'll kick me out. Obviously, I'm just a little baby like speaker. And so, you know, just learning everything I could, right? And then slowly kind of emerging and building some relationships in this group. But in 2019, right before the pandemic, I was like, I'm ready for bigger stages. I want more, just like you were saying. And someone came into the group. One of the members was going to run an event. And he was like, okay, here's the deal. He's like, I don't want to hear from your agents. I want you to apply to me direct, because most of these people have agents and book deals and all of these things. Mm. I have none. And he goes, I want to hear from people directly. I need you to send me like this, 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 and this to this address, to this email address. And we're going to start the selections. We're going to have 14 speakers. It's a week-long conference. And, you know, it's a different kind of conference. We don't want your canned stuff. We want you to really get real and vulnerable with people. And I was like, okay, this is it. Like, you got to hear what people say about themselves, right? This is the thing. Like, brand trust happens when brands are who they say they are. And so I was like, I know that. I live that. And I was like, well, I'm going to make you live that. You just said this, right? So he's like, speakers stay all week. they have a more of a relationship with the audience. It's not like a real like a regular conference. The speakers come and leave, and I'm like, notes, notes, notes. I think they had somewhere in the range of 100 people apply for the 14 speaking slots for this conference.
I'm surprised because there were so many instructions that that many people
would. But these are all professional speakers, and their whole career is just this.
Okay.
Right? And it was like the year before I'd seen the lineup, and it was all my career heroes, right? And so I knew they were going to be sending in their speaker reel. They're going to be talking about the books that they had. Like all the things I didn't. Everything I was not. So what you need to do, and in any situation like this where you want to level up, you can't focus on what you're not. You have to get really honest about what you are. So here's what I was, a different kind of speaker. So I literally grabbed my cell phone and I looked at it and I was like, hi, I'm Natalie Davison, but you've never heard of me. Like straight up. And I was like, but here's the thing. You said you're looking for a different kind of speaker because you have a different kind of event. I'm exactly that kind of speaker. And here's if you're telling the truth, here's why you have to hire me. Right. And I was like, boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. And it literally was like, I don't have a professional speaking reel. I don't have a book, but here's what I am. This, 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 and this. And I was a unanimous yes. And I watched announcement after announcement come out. And like Jonathan Fields was speaking that year. Like he had just interviewed like Brené Brown and he had a new book coming out. And Todd Herman had just done The Alter Ego Effect and he was going to be speaking. And it was like, you know, I read a book and then that speaker was on the roster too. And I was just like, what is going on? Right. And that was one very specific example, but it's one of the most important and profound in my life because I send cell phone videos all the time. One time I was rejected for an opportunity because I didn't have a big enough email list. And I messaged her back. I'm like, totally get what you're saying. I'm like, but when I read your copy, you're actually talking about how you want to get really into authentic marketing and how audience size doesn't matter. So I'm going to challenge you. Are you willing to put your money where your mouth is?
Ooh.
She had me on and I was a top rated speaker, right? So I know I'll deliver when I'm there, but it's about having that courage to say like you said before, how do you stand out? Well, that's exactly how you stand out.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite marketing principles is like, if you admit a perceived negative, everybody believes you. But if you only say good things, you have to prove that you're telling the truth. So I have no problem admitting a perceived negative because I know that immediately we have trust.
I love that. So as your career has built, what has been like the biggest mistake that you've made when it comes to finances and building wealth?
If I had to sum my money, wealth building, everything into one mistake, I would just have to say that it would be having the belief that I couldn't do it. And so then all of the tiny mistakes that come from that, my husband will be better at that than me. Or this person will be I had a business partner for a while. Why did I have a business partner? Because I was committed to the belief that I was bad at money, right? So I was like, I have to have a business partner. I'm bad at that. Like I adopted an identity rather than facing the hard truth that like, I'm not an idiot. I'm not even like, I'm pretty good at math. Like there's no reason other than my own insecurities and fear. And I could list an arm's length list of small mistakes I made that created big problems because of that.
A lot of the time it comes down to people's mindset about money. And it probably started even like growing up, stuff that you saw your parents talk about money. Do you remember like a specific funny thing about money that your parents would say?
You know, we were certainly like, I come from a part of Canada where people don't do things like I just talked about.
Yeah, they're not speaking on big stages.
It's humble. Mm-hmm. Our culture is humble. And especially with folks who have been raised there for generations, right? It's very much like if you have ambition like this, you're othered. And so that's not necessarily my family. It was just our culture, period, right? Mm-hmm. But then like, you know, at home you'd hear like, oh, well, they're not like us. We're not like them, you know? And that was always kind of like in the rain. Like I had a roommate in university whose family was like one of the wealthiest families in Canada, like in publications. And I remember one time we had like a dumb argument over like something stupid. Like I probably didn't clean something. To be honest, I don't remember what it was, but I remember like talking to one of my parental figures about it. And she was like, well, I could have told you it wouldn't work out with you guys. We're just not the same. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's my fault. Like, you know what I mean? And it was just like a core kind of belief of like, it's all worthiness stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's all that. And so I would say that because I do coach a lot of people, that is so much more prevalent than we understand. Mm-hmm. Like, so many people struggle with worthiness, whether it's financial or visibility. A lot of women have a hard time speaking up and putting themselves on stages and all of that stuff. And it all kind of comes back to that core belief of like, I don't deserve this, you know? And that takes a long time to undo.
It does.
Maybe forever. Maybe I'll be forever undoing.
I think it's a constant, yeah. Like, different level. Like, yes, you can, I think, release like the basis of it, but then there's always just like a little bit more. Like, I noticed it. I would get on big stages. Okay, I did that. But then I was like, for some reason, I didn't want to start a podcast for like a long time. And then I realized that's because anyone can listen to it. It's not just the people in the room. And then it was like, dang it, I have to like get over that. And right now it's a book. And I'm like, because anyone can read a book. And I'm like, dang it, I need to get like rid of that.
There, they can screenshot it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So I think, it'll just always, the room will just keep getting bigger.
It's like the mountain. It's on the topic of money, like I'm currently having a struggle right now where, you know, it's time for us to invest in an office space and like probably buy a building. And I mathematically, like, it works.
Yes.
Mindset wise, that's my new mountain. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, there was a time where my mountain was, I had my putting a pool in at my house was a big mountain because I didn't have a pool growing up. Right. And we mm-hmm. went to a public pool and we live in an area where you're not using the pool most of the year. And so that seems so frivolous. And so that was a mountain for me at the time. And now my mountain is like this office and investing in office space. And it's like, no amount of rational is going to out emotion me. Like, what I really have to come to terms with and understand is that I'm again facing that narrative of like, geez, this is bigger than you. And now I have to make myself bigger than it. And
I'll if it helps, it will increase your impact. The bigger your business can get.
Yeah. And it's like, it is so clearly the choice. Like, it's not even like I'm at a place where it's like, oh, I hope it's a good decision. Like, it is so obviously needed. Like, where we've grown really fast and we have a lot of folks that want this and it all makes sense. But I am like, I am the block, right? And I think we all are our own blocks.
I don't know how it is in Canada, but for taxes, would an office building help you pay less in tax as well? Yeah, there you go.
All the math. I'm the problem. It's me.
What's the one thing that you like to invest your profits into?
More education, training, and growth, for sure. 100%. I think investing in a coach and then up-leveling who that is or what they've accomplished or mm-hmm. what that looks like at the pace that I want to grow at has been like unbelievably transformative in my life. And so that's really kind of, I always want my eyes on somebody who has done the impossible already. And I'm very happy to pay for proximity to that. Interesting, right? Yes. Like, I'm like that. I have no problem putting my money there. This building's really good. But I have no problem paying for proximity to that and accelerating the pace of my growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Where's the best place people can find you?
Instagram. So I'm at Natalie_I_Davison, because even though I was an early adopter on social, I was a late handle getter on Instagram. I have to have my middle initial. So yeah. And Instagram's where I just live on Instagram, really. So it's a fun place.
Well, thank you for flying here. And I am excited to speak with you at the Rise Retreat.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life Changing Money. Don't forget to subscribe. And I would love if you left a review and shared it with your friends. See you next time.